almost a secularized version of the religious life of earlier epochs, and she did embody it.
Something about seriousness, about a dedicated life.
When I look at Susan Sontag, I see a curious mind that will never be satisfied.
You see, I'm very devoted to the idea of a dedicated life.
Afterwards, Susan Sontag was produced by Alia Kassem and Alan Hall. It was a Falling Tree production for BBC Radio 3. All Radio 3 Sunday features are available as a podcast on BBC Sounds.
Brighten your morning with Essential Classics.
It's Susie Klein with you this Monday morning. Don't worry, team, we'll get through it together.
Do stay tuned if you can. Plenty of great music to come between now and noon.
None of that fusty old contrapuntal stuff here. This sounds much more like Italian opera with its long, flowing melodic lines.
A beautiful combination of simplicity and grandeur.
Introspective music that seems almost bathed in a kind of moonlit glow.
Join Susie Klein and Ian Skelly for Essential Classics.
Expect passion and fizzing energy. Enjoy.
Every weekday morning from 9 till noon on BBC Radio 3.
Next this evening, our drama, which is introduced by tonight's director, Alison Hindle.
Tonight's drama on 3 is an anonymous 16th century murder story. Several Elizabethan dramatists, including Shakespeare, have been credited inconclusively with at least parts of this text. But the play is instead remarkable as the first example on the English stage of drama documentary. First published in 1592, it relies heavily on the account in Holinshed's Chronicles of the notorious killing of the merchant Thomas Arden 40 years earlier. Arden's wife Alice and her lover Mosby conspired to murder Arden, and the play follows closely the factual events leading up to the eventual attack, including a series of botched and almost farcical attempts on his life. The play resonates with our contemporary interest in true crime stories and, spoiler alert, the blunt brutality of the murder when it comes would sit well in any Scandi noir.
This night, sweet Alice, thou hast killed my heart. I heard thee call on Mosby in thy sleep.
Sweet Mosby is the man that hath my heart.
I'll see he shall not live above a week.
Did we not both decree to murder Arden in the night?
But what for that I may not trust you, Alice? But put the dram of this into his drink, and he shall die within an hour after.
Husband, why pause ye? Why eat you not?
I will kill my master, or anything that you will have me do.
Endanger not yourself, but hire some cutthroat for to cut him short.
Should you deceive us, 'twould go wrong with you.
I am resolved, and Arden needs must die.
Arden of Faversham, a true story. Kent, 1551.
Arden, cheer up thy spirits and droop no more. My gracious lord, the Duke of Somerset, hath freely given to thee and to thy heirs all the lands of the Abbey of Faversham. Here are the deeds. Read them and leave this melancholy mood.
Franklin, thy love prolongs my weary life. Love letters passed twixt Mosby and my wife, and they have privy meetings in the town. Nay, on his finger did I spy the ring which on our marriage day the priest put on. Can any grief be half so great as this?
Comfort thyself, sweet friend. It is not strange that women will be false and wavering.
Aye, but to dote on such a one as he is monstrous, Franklin, and intolerable.
Why, what is he?
A butcher who crept into the service of a nobleman and by his servile flattery and fawning is now become the steward of his house and bravely jets it in his silken gown.
No nobleman will countenance such a peasant.
Yes, the Lord Clifford. He that loves not me. But were he by the Lord Protector backed, he should not make me to be pointed at. I am by birth a gentleman of blood. And that injurious ribald that attempts to violate my dear wife's chastity shall on the bed which he thinks to defile see his dissevered joints and sinews torn, whilst on the floorboards pants his weary body smeared in the channels of his lustful blood.
Be patient, gentle friend, and learn of me to ease thy grief and save her chastity. In any case, be not too jealous, nor make no question of her love to thee, but as securely presently take horse and lie with me at London all this term. For women, when they may, will not, but being kept back, straight grow outrageous.
Though this abhors from reason, yet I'll try it, and call her forth, and presently take leave. How, Alice?
Husband, what mean you to get up so early?
This night, sweet Alice, thou hast killed my heart. I heard thee call on Mosby in thy sleep.
'Tis like I was asleep when I named him. For being awake, he comes not in my thoughts.
Aye, but you started up and suddenly, instead of him, caught me about the neck.
Instead of him? Why, who was there but you? And where but one is, how can I mistake?
Pardon, leave to urge her over far.
Nay, love, there is no credit in a dream. Let it suffice, I know thou lovest me well.
Now I remember whereupon it came. Had we no talk of Mosby yesternight?
Mistress Alice, I heard you name him once or twice.
And thereof came it, and therefore blame not me.
I know it did, and therefore let it pass. I must to London, sweet Alice, presently.
But tell me, do you mean to stay there long?
No longer than till my affairs be done.
He will not stay above a month at most.
A month? Ay me, sweet Arden, come again within a day or two, or else I die.
I cannot long be from thee, gentle Alice. Whilst Michael fetch our horses from the field, Franklin and I will down unto the quay, for I have certain goods there to unload. Meanwhile, prepare our breakfast, gentle Alice, for yet ere noon we'll take horse and away.
Ere noon he means to take horse and away. Sweet news is this. Oh, that some airy spirit would, in the shape and likeness of a horse, gallop with Arden, cross the ocean, and throw him from his back into the waves. Sweet Mosby is the man that hath my heart, and he usurps it, having naught but this, that I am tied to him by marriage. Love is a god, and marriage is but words, and therefore Mosby's title is the best. I know he loves me well, but dares not come because my husband is so jealous. And these, my narrow, prying neighbours, blab, hinder our meetings when we would confer. But if I live, that block shall be removed. And Mosby, thou that comes to me by stealth, shall neither fear the biting speech of men nor Arden's looks. As surely shall he die. And I abhor him and love only thee. How now, Michael? Whither are you going?
To fetch my master's nag. I hope you'll think on me.
Aye, but Michael, see you keep your oath and be as secret as you are resolute.
I'll see he shall not live above a week.
On that condition, Michael, here is my hand. None shall have Mosby's sister but thyself.
I understand the painter here hard by hath made report he and Susan is sure.
There's no such matter, Michael. Believe it not.
But he hath sent a dagger sticking in a heart with a verse or two stolen from a painted cloth, the which I hear the wench keeps in her chest. Well, let her keep it. I shall find a fellow, and if I do so, well, I say no more.
What needs all this? I say that Susan's thine.
Why, then, I say that I will kill my master, or anything that you will have me do.
Yonder comes Mosby. Michael?
I will go, and let not him nor any know thy drifts.
Mosby, my love.
Away, I say, and talk not to me now.
A word or two, sweetheart, and then I will. 'Tis yet but early days, thou needst not fear.
Where is your husband?
'Tis now high water, and he is at the quay.
There let him be. Henceforward know me not.
Is this the end of all thy solemn oaths? Have I for this given thee so many favours? And dost thou say, henceforward know me not? Remember when I locked thee in my closet? What were thy words and mine? Did we not both decree to murder Arden in the night? The heavens can witness and the world can tell, for I was tangled with thy ticing speech. Arden to me were dearer than my soul, and shall be still. Base peasant, get thee gone, and boast not for thy conquest over me, for what hast thou to countenance my love, being descended of a noble house, and matched already with the gentleman whose servant thou mayst be? And so, farewell.
Ungentle and unkind, Alice. Now I see that which I ever feared and find too true. A woman's love is as the lightning flame, which even in bursting forth consumes itself. To try thy constancy have I been strange. Would I had never tried, but lived in hope.
What needst thou try me, whom thou never found false?
Yet pardon me, for love is jealous.
I am content for to be reconciled, and that I know will be mine overthrow.
Thine overthrow? First let the world dissolve.
Nay, Mosby, let me still enjoy thy love, and happen what will, I am resolute. My saving husband hoards up bags of gold to make our children rich, and now he is gone to unload the goods that shall be thine. He and Franklin will to London straight.
To London, Alice? If thou be ruled by me, we'll make him sure enough for coming there.
I would we could.
I happened on a painter yesterday, the only cunning man in Christendom. For he can temper poison with his oil, that whoso looks upon the work he draws shall, with the beams that issue from his sight, suck venom to his breast and slay himself. Sweet Alice, he shall draw thy counterfeit, that Arden may, by gazing on it, perish.
Aye, but Mosby, that is dangerous. For thou, or I, or any other else, coming into the chamber where it hangs, may die.
Aye, but we'll have it covered with a cloth, and hung up in the study for himself. Yonder's the painter's house. I'll call him forth.
But Mosby, I'll have no such picture,
I pray thee, leave it to my discretion. How, clerk?
How is with thee, friend Mosby?
Oh, if you are an honest man, of your word, you serve me well.
Why, sir, I'll do it for you at any time, provided, as you have given your word, I may have Susan Mosby to my wife. So tell me, Master Mosby, shall I have her?
Clerk, here's my hand. My sister shall be thine.
Then, brother, to requite this courtesy, you shall command my life, my skill and all.
Ah, that thou couldst be secret.
You know not me that ask such questions. Let it suffice. I know you love him well, and fain would have your husband made away. Wherein, trust me, you show a noble mind, that rather than you'll live with him you hate, you'll venture life and die with him you love. The like will I do for my Susan's sake.
Yet nothing could enforce me to the deed but Mosby's love. Might I, without control, enjoy thee still, then Arden should not die. But seeing I cannot, therefore let him die.
Enough, sweet Alice. Thy kind words make me melt. Your trick of poisoned pictures we dislike. Some other poison would do better far.
Aye, such as might be put into his broth, and yet in taste not be found at all.
I know your mind. And here, I have it for you. Put but a dram of this into his drink, or any kind of broth that he shall eat, and he shall die within an hour after.
As I am a gentlewoman, clerk, next day thou and Susan shall be married.
And I'll make her dowry more than I'll talk of, clerk.
Yonder's your husband. Mosby, I'll be gone.
In good time. See where my husband comes, Master Mosby. Ask him the question yourself.
Master Arden, being at London yesternight, the abbey lands whereof you are now possessed were offered me on some occasion by Green, one of Sir Anthony Ager's men. I pray you, sir, tell me, are not the lands yours? Hath any other interest herein?
Mosby, that question will decide anon. Alice, make ready my breakfast. I must hence.
Husband, I will.
As for the lands, Mosby, they are mine, by letters patent from His Majesty. But I must have a mandate for my wife.
They say you seek to rob me of her love. Villain, what makes thou in her company? She's no companion for so base a groom.
Arden, I thought not on her. I came to thee. But rather than I pocket up this wrong...
What will you do, sir?
Revenge it on the proudest of you both.
So, sirrah, you may not wear a sword. And mark my words, the next time that I take thee near my house, instead of legs, I'll make thee crawl on stumps.
You, Master Arden, have insulted me. I do appeal to God and to the world.
Why, what art thou now but a velvet drudge, a cheating steward and base-minded peasant?
Arden, now thou hast belched and vomited the rancorous venom of thy mis-swollen heart, hear me but speak. As I intend to live with God and his elected saints in heaven, I never meant more to solicit her, and that she knows, and all the world shall see. I loved her once, sweet Arden, pardon me. I could not choose. Her beauty fired my heart. But time hath quenched these overraging coals, and Arden, though I now frequent thy house, 'tis for my sister's sake, her waiting maid, and not for hers. Mayest thou enjoy her long. Hellfire and wrathful vengeance light on me if I dishonour her or injure thee.
Mosby, with these thy protestations, the deadly hatred of my heart's appeased. And thou and I'll be friends, if this prove true. As for the base terms I gave thee late, forget them, Mosby. I had cause to speak when all the knights and gentlemen of Kent make common table talk of her and thee.
Who lives that is not touched with slanderous tongues?
Then, Mosby, to eschew the speech of men, upon whose general brute all honour hangs, forbear his house.
Forbear it? Nay, rather frequent it more. The world shall see that I distrust her not. To warn him on the sudden from my house were to confirm the rumour that is grown.
By my faith, sir, you say true. And therefore will I sojourn here a while, until our enemies have talked their fill.
And I will lie at London all this term, to let them see how light I weigh their words.
Husband, come in. Your breakfast will be cold.
Come, Master Mosby, will you sit with us?
I cannot eat, but I'll sit for company.
Sir Michael, see our horse be ready.
Husband, why pause ye? Why eat you not?
I am not well. There's something in this broth that is not wholesome. Didst thou make it, Alice?
I did, and that's the cause it likes not you. There's nothing that I do can please your taste. You were best to say I would have poisoned you. I cannot speak or cast aside my eye, but he imagines I have stepped awry. I charge thee, speak to this mistrustful man, thou must be thou. What favour hast thou had, more than a kiss at coming or departing from the town?
You wrong yourself, and me, to cast these doubts. Your loving husband is not jealous.
Why, gentle Mistress Alice, cannot I be ill, but you'll accuse yourself?
Give me a spoon. I'll eat of it myself. Would it were of poison to the brim, then should my cares and troubles have an end. Was ever a silly woman so tormented?
Be patient, sweet love. I mistrust not thee.
God will revenge it, Arden, if thou dost. For never woman loved her husband better than I do thee.
I know it. Sweet Alice, cease to complain, lest that in tears I answer thee again.
Come, leave this dallying and let us away.
Loath am I to depart, yet I must go.
Will thou to London, then, and leave me here? Oh, if thou love me, gentle Arden, stay. But write from London to me every week, nay, every day, and stay no longer there than thou must needs, lest that I die for sorrow.
I'll write unto thee every other tide. And so farewell, sweet Alice, till we meet next.
Farewell, husband, seeing you'll have it so. And Master Franklin,
Seeing as you take him hence, in hope you'll hasten him home, I'll give you this.
And if he stay, the fault shall not be mine. Mosby, farewell, and see you keep your oath.
I hope he is not jealous of me now.
No, Mosby, no. Hereafter, think of me as of your dearest friend. And so, farewell.
I'm glad he is gone. He was about to stay. But did you mark me then, how I broke off?
Aye, Alice, it was cunningly performed, but what a villain is this painter Clark.
Was it not a goodly poison that he gave? Why, he's as well now as he was before. It should have been some fine confection that might have given the broth some dainty taste. This powder is too gross and populous.
But had he eaten but 3 spoonfuls more, then had he died and our love continued.
Why, so it shall, Mosby, albeit he live.
It is impossible, for I have sworn never hereafter to solicit thee, or, whilst he lives, once more importune thee.
What? Shall an oath make thee forsake my love? As if I have not sworn as much myself and given my hand unto him in the church. Tush, Mosby. Oaths are words, and words is wind, and wind is mutable. Then I conclude, 'tis childishness to stand upon an oath.
Well proved, Mistress Alice. Yet, by your leave, I'll keep mine unbroken whilst he lives.
I do, and spare not. His time is but short, for if thou be'st as resolute as I, we'll have him murdered as he walks the streets.
What?
In London, many alehouse ruffians keep, which, as I hear, will murder men for gold. They shall be soundly feed to pay him home.
Alice, what's he that comes yonder? Knowest thou him?
Mosby, be gone. I hope 'tis one that comes to put in practice our intended drifts.
Mistress Arden.
Farewell, Mistress Arden. I'm sorry that your husband is from home, when as my purposed journey was to him.
What is it, Master Green? If that I may or can with safety, I will answer you.
I heard your husband hath the grant of late of all of the lands of the Abbey of Faversham, generally entitled, so that all former grants are cut off. Whereof I myself had one, but now my interest by that is void. This is all, Mistress Arden. Is it true or not?
True, Master Green. The lands are his in state, and whatsoever leases were before are void for term of Master Arden's life.
Pardon me, Mistress Arden. I must speak, for I am touched. Your husband doth me wrong to wring me from the little land I have. Desire of wealth is endless in his mind, and he is greedy, gaping still for gain. Nor cares he, though fine gentlemen do beg. But seeing he hath taken my lands, I'll value life as careless as he's careful for to get. And tell him this from me. I'll be revenged. And so, as he shall wish the abbey lands had rested still within the former state.
Alas, poor gentleman, I pity you. And woe is me that any man should want. God knows, 'tis not my fault. But wonder not that he be hard to others when to me... Master Green, God knows how I am used.
Why, Mistress Arden, can a crabbed churl use you unkindly? Respects he not your birth, your honourable friends, nor what you brought? Why, old Kent knows your parentage and what you are.
Master Green, be it spoken in secret here, I never live good day with him alone. When he is home, then have I frowning looks, hard words, and blows to mend the match withal. And though I might content as good a man, yet doth he keep in every corner trolls. And weary with his horse at home, then rides he straight to London. There, forsooth, he revels it among such filthy ones as counsel him to make away his wife. Thus live I daily in continual fear, in sorrow so despairing of redress, as every day I wish with hearty prayer that he or I were taken forth the world.
Now trust me, Mistress Alice, it grieveth me so fair a creature should be so abused. Why, who would have thought the civil sir so sullen? He looks so smoothly, I shall be the man shall set you free from all this discontent. And if the churl deny my interest, and will not yield my lease into my hand, I'll pay him home, whatever hap to me.
But speak you as you think.
Aye. God's my witness. I mean plain dealing. For I had rather die than lose my land.
Then, Master Green, be counselled by me. Endanger not yourself for such a churl, but hire some cutthroat for to cut him short. And here's £10 to wager them withal. When he is dead, you shall have 20 more, and the lands whereof my husband is possessed shall be entitled as they were before.
Will you keep your promise with me?
Or count me false and perjured whilst I live?
Then here's my hand. I'll have him so dispatched. I'll up to London straight, I'll thither post, and never rest till I have compassed it. Till then, farewell.
Good fortune follow all your forward thoughts.
How now, Alice?
Mistress.
What's the news?
Such as will content thee well, sweetheart.
Well, let it pass a while and tell me, Alice. How have you dealt and tempered with my sister? What, will she have my neighbour clerk or no?
What, Master Mosby? Let him woo himself. Think you that maids look not for fair words? Go to her, clerk. She's all alone within. Michael, my man, is clean out of her books.
I thank you, Mistress Arden. I will in, and if fair Susan and I can make agree, you shall command me to the uttermost, as far as either goods or like may stretch.
Now, Alice, let's hear thy news.
They be so good that I must laugh for joy before I can begin to tell my tale.
Let's hear them that I may laugh for company.
This morning, Master Green, Dick Green, I mean, from whom my husband had the abbey land, came hither railing for to know the truth, whether my husband had the lands by grant. I told him all, whereat he stormed amain and swore he would cry quittance with the churl. When as I saw his collar thus to rise, I whetted on the gentleman with words. And to conclude, Mosby, at last we grew to composition for my husband's death. On this we agreed, and he is ridden straight to London to bring his death about.
Call you this good news?
Aye, sweetheart, be they not?
'Twere cheerful news to hear the churl were dead, but trust me, Alice, I take it passing ill you would be so forgetful of our state to make recount of it to every groom. What? To acquaint each stranger with our drifts, chiefly in case of murder? Why, 'tis the way to make it open unto Arden's self and bring thyself and me to ruin both. Forewarned, forearmed, who threats his enemy, lends him a sword to guard himself withal.
I did it for the best.
Well, seeing 'tis done, cheerly let it pass. You know this Green, is he not religious? A man, I guess, of great devotion?
He is.
Then, sweet Alice, let it pass. I have a drift, will quiet all whatever is amiss.
How now, clerk? Have you found me false? Did I not plead the matter hard for you?
You did.
And what? Will be a match?
A match, i' faith, sir. Aye, the day is mine. The painter lays his colours to the life. His pencil draws no shadows in his love. Susan is mine.
You make her blush.
What, sister, is it? Clark must be the man.
It resteth in your grant. Some words are passed, and haply we be grown unto a match. If you be willing, that it shall be so.
Ah, Master Clark, it resteth at my grant. You see, my sister's yet at my dispose. But, so you'll grant me one thing I shall ask, I am content my sister shall be yours.
What is it, Master Mosby?
I do remember once, in secret talk, you told me how you could compound by art a crucifix empoisoned, that whoso look upon it should wax blind, and with the scent be stifled, that ere long he should die poisoned that did view it well. I would have you make me such a crucifix, and then I'll grant my sister shall be yours.
Though I am loath, because it toucheth life, yet rather than I'll leave sweet Susan's love, I'll do it, and with all the haste I may.
'Tis very well. But against when shall I have it?
Within this 10 days.
'Twill serve the turn. Now fare thee well.
Farewell.
Now, Alice, let's go see what cheer you keep. I hope, now Master Arden is from home, You'll give me leave to play your husband's part?
Mosby, you know who's master of my heart. He well may be the master of the house.
See you them that comes yonder, Master Green?
Aye, very well. Do you know them?
The one I know not, but he seems a knave, chiefly for bearing the other company. For such a slave, so vile a rogue as he lives not again upon the earth. Black Will's his name. I tell you, Master Green, at Boulogne, he and I were fellow soldiers where he played such pranks as all the camp feared him for his villainy. I warrant you, he bears so bad a mind that for a crown he'll murder any man.
The fitter he is for my purpose, Mary.
Oh, no, fellow Bradshaw!
Will, times have changed. No fellows now, though we were once together in the field. Master Green, I'll leave you, for I must to the Isle of Sheppey with speed.
Before you go, let me entreat you to carry this letter to Mistress Arden of Faversham and humbly recommend me to herself.
That will I, Master Green, and so farewell.
Farewell, Bradshaw.
Aye, farewell, Bradshaw.
Now, gentlemen, shall we have your company to London?
Nay, stay, sirs. A little more. I needs must your help, and in a matter of great consequence, wherein, if you'll be secret and profound, I'll give you 20 angels for your pains.
How? 20 angels? Give my fellow George Shakebag and me 20 angels, and if thou have thy own father slain, that thou mayst inherit his land, we'll kill him.
Aye, thy mother, thy sister, thy brother, or all thy kin.
Well, this is it. Arden of Faversham hath highly wronged me about the Abbey land, that no revenge but death will serve the turn. Will you two kill him? Here's the money down. And I will lay the platform of his death.
Plat me no platforms. Give me the money and I'll stab him as he stands pissing against the wall, but I'll kill him.
Where is he?
He is now at London, in Aldersgate Street.
He's dead as if he had been condemned by an act of Parliament, if one Black Will, and I swear his death.
Here is £10. And when he is dead, ye shall have 20 more.
My fingers itches to be at the peasant. Come, let us be going and we'll rest at Rochester, where I'll give thee a gallon of sack to seal the match withal.
See there. The first is Arden, and that's Michael, his man. The other is Franklin, Arden's dearest friend.
Now, Master Franklin, let us walk round St. Paul's. Come, with a turn or two, and then away.
Zounds, I'll kill them all three.
Nay, sirs, touch not his man in any case, but stand close and take you fit his standing, and at his coming forth, kill him. Now I'll leave you till the deed be done.
If he be not dispatched, ne'er trust Shakebag.
Sirrah Shakebag, at his coming forth, I'll run him through, then to the Blackfriars, and there take water and away.
Aye, that's the best. But see thou miss him not?
How can I miss him when I think on the 40 angels I must have more?
Tis very late. I would best shut up my stall. For here will be much filching when the crowd forth of St. Paul's.
Draw, Shakebag, draw! I'm almost killed!
What troublesome fray or mutiny is this?
Tis nothing, Arden, but some paltry fray devised to pick men's pockets in the throng.
Is nothing else?
Come, Franklin. Let us away.
What men's shall I have for my broken head?
Marry, this men's. That if you get you not away all the sooner, you shall be well beaten and sent to the counter.
Well, I'll be gone. But look to your signs, for I'll pull them all down. Shakebag, my broken head grieves me not so much as by this means Arden hath escaped. I had a glimpse of him and his companion.
Why, sirs? Arden's as well as I. I met him and Franklin going merrily to the tavern. What?
dare you not do it?
Yes, sir, we dare do it. But I've had £10 to steal a dog, and we have no more here to kill a man. But that a bargain is a bargain and so forth. You should do it yourself.
I pray thee, how came thy head broke?
Why, thou seest it is broke, dost thou not?
Standing against a stall, watching Arden's coming, a boy leapt down his shop window and broke Will's head. Whereupon arose a brawl, and in the tumult, Arden escaped us. But forbearance is no acquittance. Another time we'll do it, I warrant thee.
I pray thee, Will, make clean thy bloody brow, and let us bethink us on some other place where Arden may be met with handsomely. Remember how devoutly thou hast sworn to kill the villain. Think upon thine oath.
Tush! I've broken 500 oaths! But wouldst thou charm me to effect this deed? Tell me of gold, my resolution's fee. I tell thee, Green, the forlorn traveller, whose lips are glued with summer's parching heat, ne'er long so much to see a running brook as I to finish Arden's tragedy. Seest thou this gore that cleaveth to my face? From hence, ne'er will I wash this bloody stain till Arden's heart be panting in my hand.
Why, that's well said. But what saith Shakebag?
I cannot paint my valour out with words. But give me place and opportunity, such mercy as the starving lioness shows to the prey that next encounters her on Arden, so much pity would I take.
So, should it fare with men of firm resolve? And now, sirs, seeing this accident of meeting him in Paul's hath no success, let us bethink us on some other place whose earth may swallow up this Arden's blood. See, yonder comes his man. And what you what? The foolish knave is in love with Mosby's sister. And for her sake, whose love he cannot get unless Mosby solicit his suit, the villain hath sworn the slaughter of his master. We'll question him, for he may tell us much.
How now, Michael? Whither are you going?
My master hath new supped, and I'm going to prepare his chamber.
Where supped, Master Arden?
At the Nag's Head. How now, Master Shakeback? What, Black Will? Oh, God's dear lady, how chance your face is so bloody?
Go to, sirrah. There is a chance this sauciness in you will make you be knocked.
Oh, nay, and you be offended or be gone.
Stay, Michael. You may not escape us so. Michael, I know you love your master well.
Why, so I do. But wherefore urge you that?
Because I think you love your mistress better.
So think not I, but say faith, what if I should?
Oh, come to the purpose. Michael, we hear you have a pretty love in Faversham.
Why have I two or three? What's that to thee?
Oh, you deal too mildly with a peasant. Thus it is. 'Tis known to us you love Mosby's sister. We know besides that you've ta'en your oath to further Mosby to your mistress's bed and kill your master for his sister's sake. Now, sir, a poorer coward than yourself was never fostered in the coast of Kent. How come it then that such a knave as you dare swear a matter of such consequence?
Ah, well.
Ah, tush, give me leave. There's no more than this. I am the very man marked in my birth hour by the destinies to give an end to Arden's life on earth. Thou but a member but to whet the knife whose edge must search the closet of his breast. Thy office is but to appoint the place and to lure thy master to his tragedy, mine to perform it when occasion serves. Then be not coy, but here devise with us how and what way we may conclude his death.
So shalt thou purchase Mosby for thy friend, and by his friendship gain his sister's love.
So shall thy mistress be thy favourer, and thou disburdened of the oath thou made.
Well, gentlemen, I cannot but confess, sith you have urged me so apparently, that I have vowed my master Arden's death, and he whose kindly love and liberal hand doth challenge naught but good deserts of me, I will deliver over to your hands. This night come to his house at Aldersgate. The doors I'll leave unlocked until you come. There take him and dispose him as ye please. Now it were good we parted company. What I have promised I will perform.
Should you deceive us, 'twould go wrong with you.
Oh, we'll accomplish all I have revealed.
Yeah. Come, let's go drink. Collar makes me dry as a dog.
Oh, harmless Arden. How hast thou misdone that this thy gentle life is levelled at? The many good turns that thou hast done to me, now must I quittance with betraying thee. I that should take the weapon in my hand and buckler thee from ill-intending foes, do lead thee with a wicked, fraudful smile, and unsuspected to the slaughterhouse. So have I sworn to Mosby and my mistress, so have I promised to the slaughtermen. And should I not deal faithfully with them, their lawless rage would take revenge on me. Tush, I will spurn at mercy for this once. Let pity lodge where feeble women lie. I am resolved, and Arden needs must die.
Franklin, no. Yeah. If fear or stormy threats, if love of me or care of womanhood, if fear of God or common speech of men might wake repentance in her wanton thoughts, no question then but she would turn the leaf and sorrow for her dissolution. But she is rooted in her wickedness, perverse and stubborn, not to be reclaimed. Her faults, methink, are painted in my face, for every searching eye to o'erread. And Mosby's name, a scandal unto mine, is deeply trenched in my blushing brow. Oh, Franklin. Franklin, when I think on this, my heart's grief rends my other powers worse than the conflict at the hour of death.
Gentle Arden, leave this sad lament. She will amend, and so your griefs will cease. Or else she'll die, and so your sorrows end. If neither of these two do haply fall, yet let your comfort be that others bear your woes twice doubled all with patience.
My house is irksome. There I cannot rest.
Then stay with me in London. Go not home.
Then that base Mosby doth usurp my room and makes his triumph of my being thence. At home, or not at home, where'er I be, here it lies. Oh, Franklin, here it lies, that will not out till wretched Arden dies.
Forget your griefs a while, here comes your man.
What o'clock is't, Michael?
Almost 10.
See how runs away the weary time. Come, Master Franklin, shall we go to bed?
Conflicting thoughts encamped in my breast awake me with the echo of their strokes. And I, a judge, to censure either side, can give to neither wished victory. My master's kindness pleased to me for life with just demand, and I must grant it him. My mistress, she hath forced me with an oath, for Susan's sake the which I may not break, for that is nearer than a master's love. And that grim-faced fellow, pitiless Black Will and Shakebag, stern in bloody stratagem. Two rougher ruffians never lived in Kent have sworn my death if I infringe my vow. A dreadful thing to be considered of. Methinks I see them with their matted hair, staring and grinning in their gentle face, and in their ruthless hands their daggers drawn. Whilst thou submissive, pleading for relief, art mangled by their ireful instruments. Methinks I hear them ask where Michael is, and pitiless Black Will cries, stab the slave. The peasant will detect the tragedy. My death to him is but a merriment, and he will murder me to make him sport. Oh, he comes. Oh, Master Franklin, help! Call on the neighbours or we are but dead.
Oh. What? No. This small outcry calls me from my rest.
What hath occasioned such fearful cries? Speak, Michael. Hath any injured thee?
Nothing, sir, But as I fell asleep upon the threshold leaning to the stairs, I had a fearful dream that troubled me, and in my slumber thought I was beset with murderer thieves that came to rifle me. My trembling joints witnessed my inward fear. I crave your pardons for disturbing you.
So great a cry for nothing I ne'er heard. Mm. What, are the doors fast locked and all things safe?
I cannot tell. I think I locked the doors.
I like not this, but I'll go see myself. Ne'er trust me, but the doors were all unlocked. This negligence not half contenteth me. Get you to bed, and if you love my favour, let me have no more such pranks as these. Come. Master Franklin, let us go to bed.
Aye, by my faith. The air is very cold. Michael, farewell. I pray thee, dream no more.
Oh, I tell thee, Shakebag, would this thing were done. I'm so heavy that I can scarce go. This drowsiness in me bodes little good.
Oh, now, Will. Become a Puritan. Nay, then. Let's go to sleep when bugs and fears shall kill our courages with their fancies work.
Why, Shakebag, thou mistakes me much and wrongs me too in telling me of fear. I tell thee, Shakebag, thou abusest me.
Why, thy speech bereaved an inly kind of fear and savoured of a weak, relenting spirit. Go forward now in that we have begun, and afterwards engage me when thou darest.
And if I do not, heaven cut me off. But let that pass. Show me to this house. Where thou shalt see, I'll do as much as Shakebag.
This is the door. But soft. Methinks 'tis shut. The villain Michael hath deceived us!
Soft, let me see. Shakebag, 'tis shut indeed. Knock with thy sword. Perhaps the slave will hear.
It will not be. The white-livered peasant has gone to bed and laughs us both to scorn.
Ne'er let this sword assist me when I need but rust and canker after I've sworn. If I, the next time that I meet the hind, lop not away his leg or arm or both.
And let me never draw a sword again. If I, the next time that I meet the slave, cut not the nose from off the coward's face and trample on it for this villainy.
Shakebag, let's seek out Green, and in the morning at the alehouse, Butting Arden's house, watch the outcoming of that prick-eared cur, and then let me alone to handle him.
Michael, get you back to Billingsgate and learn what time the tide will serve our turn. Come to us in St. Paul's.
Aye, master.
First, make the bed, and afterwards go hearken for the flood.
Aye, master.
Come, Master Franklin. Huh. You shall stay with me. This night, I dreamed that, being in a park, a net was pitched to overthrow the deer. And I, upon a little rising hill, stood wistly watching for the herd's approach. Even there, methoughts, a gentle slumber took me and summoned all my parts to sweet repose. But in the pleasure of this golden rest, an ill-thewed foster had removed the net and rounded me with that beguiling home which I had thought was pitched to trap the deer. With that he blew an evil-sounding horn, and at the noise another herdman came, crying aloud, "Thou art the game we seek." With this I waked and trembled every joint, and stood in doubt whether I waked or no, such great impression took this fond surprise. God grant this vision bedeem me any good.
To such as note their nightly fantasies, some one in 20 may incur belief, but use it not. 'Tis but a mockery.
Come, Master Franklin, we'll now walk to Paul's, and by my man's direction, draw to the quay, and with the tide go down to Faversham. Say, Master Franklin, shall it not be so?
At your good pleasure, sir. I'll bear you company.
Draw, Shakebag, for here's that villain Michael.
First, Will, let's hear what he can say.
Speak, milksop slave, and never after speak.
For God's sake, sirs, let me excuse myself. For here I swear by heaven and earth and all I did perform the outmost of my task and left the doors unbolted and unlocked. But see the chance. Franklin and my master were very late conferring in the porch, and Franklin left his napkin where he sat, with certain gold knit in it, as he said. Being in bed, he did bethink himself, and coming down, he found the doors unshut, and he locked the gates and brought away the keys, for which offence my master rated me. But now I'm going to see what flood it is, for with the tide my master will away, where you may front him well on Rainham Down, a place well fit in such a stratagem.
Your excuse hath somewhat mollified my choler. Why now, Green, 'tis better now nor ere it was.
But, Michael, is this true?
As true as I report it to be true.
Then, Michael, this shall be your penance, to feast us all at the salutation, where we will plot our purpose thoroughly.
And, Michael, you shall bear no news of this tide, so that they too may be in Rainham Down before your master.
Why, I'll agree to anything you'll have me, so you will accept of my company.
Disturbed thoughts drives me from company and dries my marrow with their watchfulness. My golden time was when I had no gold. Though then I wanted, yet I slept secure. My daily toil begat my night's repose. My night's repose made daylight fresh to me. But since I climbed the top bough of the tree and sought to build my nest among the clouds, each gentlest airy gale doth shake my bed and makes me dread my downfall to the earth. But whither doth contemplation carry me? The way I seek to find where pleasure dwells is hedged behind me, that I cannot back, but needs must on, although to danger's gate. Then, Arden, perish thou by that decree, for Green doth plough the land and weed thee up to make my harvest nothing but pure corn. And for his pains I'll heave him up a while, and after smother him to have his wax. Such bees as Green must never live to sting. Then there is Michael and the painter too, chief actors to Arden's overthrow, who, when they see me sit in Arden's seat, may fright me by detecting of his end. I'm none of that, for I can cast a bone to make these curs pluck out each other's throat, and then am I sole ruler of mine own. But what for that I may not trust you, Alice? You have supplanted Arden for my sake, and will destroy me next to plant another. 'Tis fearful sleeping in a serpent's bed, and I will cleanly rid my hands of her. But here she comes, and I must flatter. How now, Alice? What, sad and sorrowful? Make me partaker of thy pensiveness. Fire divided burns with lesser force.
But I will damn that fire in my breast, till by the force thereof my part consume. Oh, Mosby!
Such sad outbursts, like to a cannon's blast discharged against a ruinated wall, breaks my relenting heart in thousand pieces. Ungentle Alice, thy sorrow is my sore. Thou know'st it well, and 'tis thy policy to forge distressful looks, to wound a breast where lies a heart that dies when thou art sad. It is not love that loves to anger love.
It is not love that loves to murder love.
How mean you that?
Thou knowest how dearly Arden loved me.
And then?
And then conceal the rest, for 'tis too bad, lest that my words be carried with the wind and published in the world to both our shames. I pray thee, Mosby, let our springtime wither. Our harvest else will yield but loathsome weeds. Forget, I pray thee, what hath passed between us, for now I blush and tremble at the thoughts.
What? Are you changed?
I? To my former happy life again. From title of an odious strumpet's name to honest Arden's wife. Not Arden's honest wife. Ha! Huh. Mosby, 'tis thou hast rifled me of that, and made me slanderous to all my kin. Even in my forehead is thy name engraved. A mean artificer, that low-born name. I was bewitched. Woe worth the hapless hour and all the causes that enchanted me.
Nay, if thou ban, let me breathe curses forth. And if you stand so nicely on your fame, let me repent the credit I have lost. I have neglected matters of import that would have stated me above thy state, foreslowed advantages and spurned at time. I left the marriage of an honest maid whose dowry would have weighed down all thy wealth, whose beauty and demeanour far exceeded thee. This certain good I lost for changing bad and wrapped my credit in thy company. I was bewitched. That is no theme of thine. And thou, unhallowed, hast enchanted me. But I will break thy spell upon these eyes that showed my heart a raven for a dove. Thou art not fair. I viewed thee not till now. Thou art not kind. Till now I knew thee not. And now the rain hath beaten off thy guilt. Thy worthless copper shows thee counterfeit. It grieves me not to see how foul thou art, but mads me that I ever thought thee fair. I am too good to be thy favourite.
Aye, now I see and too soon find it true, which often hath been told me by my friends, that Mosby loves me not but for my wealth, which, too incredulous, I ne'er believed. Nay, hear me speak, Mosby, a word or two. I'll bite my tongue if he speak bitterly. Look on me, Mosby, or I'll kill myself. Nothing shall hide me from thy stormy look. If thou cry war, there is no peace for me. I will do penance for offending thee, and burn this prayer book, where here I use the holy word that hath converted me. See, Mosby, I will tear away the leaves, all the leaves, and in this golden cover shall thy sweet phrases and thy letters dwell, and thereon will I chiefly meditate, and hold no other sect but such devotion. Wilt thou not look? Is all thy love o'erwhelmed? Wilt thou not hear? What malice stops thine ears? Why speak'st thou not? What silence ties thy tongue? Thou hast been sighted as the eagle is, and heard as quickly as the fearful hare, and spoke as smoothly as an orator when I have bid thee hear or see or speak. Art thou sensible in none of these? Weigh all my good turns with this little fault, and I deserve not Mosby's muddy looks. A fount once troubled is not thick and still. Be clear again. I'll ne'er more trouble thee.
Oh, no! I am a base artificer. My wings are feathered for a lowly flight. Mosby, fie, no, not for £1,000. Make love to you? Why, 'tis unpardonable. We beggars must not breathe where gentles are.
Oh, sweet Mosby is as gentle as a king, and I too blind to judge him otherwise. Flowers do sometimes spring in fallow lands, weeds in gardens, roses grow on thorns. So whatsoever Mosby's father was, himself is valued noble by his worth.
Ah, how you women can insinuate and clear a trespass with your sweet set tongue. I will forget this quarrel, gentle Alice, provided I'll be tempted so no more.
Then with thy lips, seal up this new-made match.
Soft, Alice, for here comes somebody.
Well now, Bradshaw, what's the news with you?
I have little news, but here's a letter that Master Green importuned me to give you.
Go in, Bradshaw, call for a cup of beer. It is almost supper time, thou shalt stay with us.
Aye, Mistress Arden.
We have missed of our purpose at London, but shall perform it by the way. We thank our neighbour Bradshaw, yours, Richard Green. How likes my love the tenor of this letter?
Well, were Arden's date complete and expired?
Oh, would it were. Then comes my happy hour. Till then, my bliss is mixed with bitter gall. Come, let us in to shun suspicion.
Aye, to the gates of death to follow thee.
Will, see thy tools be in a readiness. Is not thy powder dank, or will thy flint strike fire?
And then ask me if my nose be on my face, or whether my tongue be frozen in my mouth, how many pistols I've took in hand, or whether I love the smell of gunpowder. I pray thee, Shakebag, let this answer thee, that I've took more purses in this down than e'er thou handlest pistols in thy life.
Aye? Haply thou hast picked more in a throng, but should I brag what booties I have took, I think the overplus that's more than thine would mount to a greater sum of money than either thou or all thy kin are worth.
Oh, Green, intolerable! It is not for mine honour to bear this. Why, Shakebag, I did serve the king at Boulogne, and thou canst brag of nothing that thou hast done.
What? I pray you, sirs, list to Aesop's talk. Whilst two stout dogs were striving for a bone, there comes a cur and stole it from them both. So while you stand striving on these terms of manhood, Arden escapes us and deceives us all.
Why, he begun me, and thou shalt find I'll end. I do but slip it until better time.
Well, take your fittest standings, and once more lime your twigs to catch this weary bird. But, sirs, be sure to speed him when he comes, hmm? And in that hope, I'll leave you for an hour.
Oh. T'were best that I went back to Rochester. The horse halts downright. It were not good he travelled in such pain to Faversham. A removing of a shoe may haply help it.
Well, get you back to Rochester. But, sirrah, see ye o'ertake us ere we come to Raynham Down. For it will be very late ere we get home.
Aye. God, he knows, and so doth Will and Shakebag, that thou shalt never go further than that down. And therefore have I pricked the horse on purpose, because I would not view the massacre.
Come, Master Franklin. Onwards with your tale.
Pardon me, Master Arden, I can no more. This fighting at my heart makes short my wind.
Come, we're almost now at Raynham Down. Your pretty tale beguiles the weary way. I would you were in state to tell it out.
Stand close, Will. I hear them coming.
Stand to it, Shakeback, and be resolute.
Is it so near night as it seems, Lord? Or will this black-faced evening have a shower? Whoa! What? Master Arden? You are well met. I have long this fortnight's day to speak with you. You are a stranger man in the Isle of Sheppey.
Your honours always. Bound to do you service.
Come you from London and ne'er a man with you?
My man's coming after. But here's my honest friend that came along with me.
Ah, my Lord Protector's man, I take you to be.
Aye, my good lord, and highly bound to you.
You and your friend, come home and sup with me.
I beseech your honour, pardon me. I have made a promise to a gentleman, my honest friend, to meet him at my house. The occasion is great, or else would I wait on you.
Will you come tomorrow and dine with me? And bring your honest friend along with you. I have divers matters to talk with you about.
Tomorrow, we'll wait upon your honour.
What? Black Will? For whose purse wait you?
Thou wilt be hanged in Kent when all is done.
Not hanged, God save your honour. I'm your beadsman, bound to pray for you.
Ha! I think thou ne'er saidst prayer in all thy life. One of you give him a crown. And, sirrah, leave this kind of life. If thou be'st tainted for a penny matter and come in question, surely thou wilt hang. Come, Master Arden, let us be going. Your way and mine lies 4 mile together. Hmm? Get up.
Come on.
Devil, break all your necks at 4 miles' end. Zounds, I could kill myself for very anger. I would his lordship's crown were down his throat.
Oh, Arden, thou hast wondrous holy luck. Did ever man escape as thou hast done? Well, I'll discharge my pistol at the sky. For by this bullet, Arden might not die.
What? Is he down? Is he dispatched?
Aye, in health, toward Faversham, to shame us all.
The devil he is. Why, sirs, how escaped he?
When we were ready to shoot, came my Lord Cheney to prevent his death.
The Lord of Heaven hath preserved
him. The Lord of Heaven a fig! The Lord Cheney hath preserved him and bids him to a feast to his house at Shorlow. But by the way, once more, I'll meet with him. And if all the Cheneys in the world say no, I'll have a bullet in his breast tomorrow. Therefore, come, Green, and let us to Faversham.
Aye, and excuse ourselves to Mistress Arden. Oh, how she'll chafe when she hears of this.
Why, I warrant you she'll think we dare not do it.
Why, then let us go and tell her all the matter. And plot the news to cut him off tomorrow.
The season fits. Come, Franklin Lettaway.
I thought you did intend some special hunt that made you thus cut short the time of rest.
There was no chase that made me rise so early. But as I told thee yesternight, to go to the Isle of Sheppey, there to dine with my Lord Cheney. For so his honour late commanded me.
Ah, such kind husbands seldom want excuses. The time hath been, would God were it not past, that honour's title nor a man's command could once have drawn you from these arms of mine. But my deserts or your desires decay.
Why, I pray you, sir, let her go along with us. I am sure his honour will welcome her, and us the more for bringing her along. Content. Michael, settle your mistress's nag.
No. Begged favour merits little thanks. If I should go, our house would run away, or else be stolen. Therefore I'll stay behind.
Nay, see how mistaken you are. I pray thee go.
No, not now.
Then let me leave thee satisfied in this, that time nor place nor persons alter me, but that I hold thee dearer than my life.
That will be seen by your quick return.
And that shall be ere night, and if I live. Farewell, sweet Alice. We might to sup with thee.
Farewell.
Come, Michael, are our horses ready?
Aye, your horses are ready, but I'm not ready. For I've lost my purse with 36 shillings in it with taking up on my master's nag.
Why, I pray you, let us go before, whilst he stays behind to seek his purse.
Go to, sirrah. See you follow us to the Isle of Sheppey, to my Lord Cheney's, where we mean to dine.
So fair weather after you, for before you lies Black Will and Shakebag. They'll be your ferryman to your long home. But who's this?
How now, Michael?
The painter, my co-rival that would needs win Mistress Susan.
How doth my Mistress Susan and all at home?
Who? Susan Mosby? She is your mistress too?
Aye. How doth she and all the rest?
All's well but Susan. She is sick.
Sick? Of what disease?
Of a great fear.
A fear of what?
A great fever.
Fever? God forbid.
Yes, faith, and of a rascal too, big as yourself.
Oh, Michael. The spleen prickles you. Go to. You carry an eye over Mistress Susan.
My faith, to keep her from the painter.
Such another word will cost you a cuff or a knock.
What, with a dagger made of a pencil? Faith, 'tis too weak, and therefore thou too weak to win Susan.
Would Susan's lovely upon this stroke?
I'll lay my life. This is for Susan's love.
Stayed you behind your master to this end? Have you no other time to rabble in, but now, when serious matters are at hand? Say, Clark. Hast thou done the thing thou promised?
Aye. Here it is. The very touch is death. Say not who gave it to you.
Then this, I hope, if all the rest do fail, will catch Master Arden and make him wise in death that lived a fool. Why should he thrust his sickle in our corn? Or what hath he to do with thee, my love? Or govern me that am to rule myself? Forsooth, for credit's sake, I must leave thee. Nay, he must cease to live that we may love. May live and love, for what is life but love? And love shall last as long as life remains, and life shall end before my love depart.
Why, what's love without true constancy? No, let our love be rocks of adamant, which time nor place nor tempest can asunder.
Mosby, leave protestations now, and let us bethink us what we have to do. Blackwell and Shagbag I have placed in the broomfield watching Arden's coming. Let's to them and see what they have done.
Oh, ferryman, where art thou?
Here. Go before to the boat and I will follow you.
We have great haste. I pray thee, come away.
Why? What a mist is here. What, Will? Where art thou?
Here, Shagbag. Almost in hell's mouth, for I cannot see my way for smoke.
I pray thee speak still, that we may meet by the sound. For I shall fall into some ditch or other, unless my feet see better than my eyes. Oh.
Didst thou ever see better weather to run away with another man's wife?
No. This were a fine world for chandlers if this weather would last, for then a man should never dine nor sup without candlelight. But, sirrah Will, what horses are those that passed?
Why, didst thou hear any?
Aye, that I did.
My life for thine, 'twas Arden and his companion, and then all our labour's lost.
Nay, say not so. For if it be they may haply lose their way as we have done, and then we chance meet with them.
Come, let us go on, like a couple of blind pilgrims.
Will! Help! I'm almost drowned!
Who's that? Calls for help!
Twas none here. Twas thou thyself.
I came to help him that called for help.
Well, how now? Who is this that's in the ditch?
You're well enough served.
Go without a guide. Such weather as this.
Sirrah, what companies have passed your ferry this morning?
None, but a couple of gentlemen that went to dine at my Lord Cheney's.
Shakebag, did I not tell thee as much?
Why, sir? Will you have any letters carried to them?
No, sir. Get you gone.
Did you ever see such a mist as this?
No, nor such a fool as will rather be hocked than get his way.
Why, sir, this is no Hock Monday. You are deceived. What's his name, I pray you?
His name is Black Will.
I hope to see him one day hanged upon a hill. See how the sun doth clear the foggy mist. Now we have missed the mark of our intent. Black Will and Shakebag, what make you here?
What? Is the deed done?
Is Arden dead?
What could a blinded man perform in arms? Saw you not how till now the sky was dark that neither horse nor man could be discerned? Yet did we hear their horses as they passed.
Have they escaped you then and passed the ferry?
Aye, for a while. But here we two will stay, and at their coming back meet with them once more.
Oh, zounds, I was ne'er so toiled in all my life in following so slight a task as this.
Here's to pay for a fire and good cheer. Get you to Faversham, to the Flower de Luce, and rest yourselves until some other time.
Let me alone. It most concerns my state.
Aye, Mistress Arden. This will serve the turn in case we fall into a second fog. Fairly well.
Farewell.
These knaves will never do it. Let us give it over.
First, tell me how you like my new device. Soon, when my husband is returning back, you and I, both marching arm in arm like loving friends, will meet him on the way and boldly beard and brave him to his teeth. When words grow hot and blows begin to rise, I'll call those cutthroats forth your tenement who, in a manner to take up the fray, shall wound my husband Arden to the death.
Ah.
Fine device. Why, this deserves a kiss.
Now that our horses have gone home before, my wife may happily meet me on the way. But God knows, she's grown passing kind of late, and greatly changed from her old humour, and seeks by fair means to redeem old faults.
Happy the change that alters for the best. But see, in any case, you make no speech of the cheer we had at my Lord Cheney's, although most bounteous and liberal, for that will make her think herself more wronged in that we did not carry her along. For sure, she grieved that she was left behind.
Come, Franklin, let us strain to mend our pace and take her unawares at playing the cook, for I believe she'll strive to mend our cheer.
Why, there's no better creatures in the world than women are when they're in good humour.
Who's that? Mosby? What? So familiar? Injurious strumpet and the ribald knave? Untwine those arms.
Aye, with a sugared kiss let them untwine.
Oh, Mosby, perjured beast, bear this and all.
And yet, no horned beast, the horns are thine.
Oh, monstrous. Nay then, 'tis time to draw.
Help! Help! They murder my husband!
Soons, Twingers, Master Mosby! Well, I am hurt!
Nay, leave this place, safe man!
I may thank you, Mistress Arden, for this wound.
Arden, what folly blinded thee? Oh, jealous, harebrained man, what hast thou done? When we, to welcome thee, intended sport, come lovingly to meet thee on the way, thou drewest thy sword, enraged with jealousy, and hurt thy friend, whose thoughts were free from harm, all for a worthless kiss and joining arms, both done but merrily to try thy patience. And me, unhappy that devised the jest, which, though begun in sport, yet ends in blood.
Mary, God defend me from such a jest.
Couldst thou not see us friendly smile on thee when we joined arms and when I kissed his cheek? Didst thou not hear me cry, they murder thee? Call thou not help to set my husband free? No, ears and all were witched. Oh, me, accursed to link in liking with a frantic man. Henceforth, I'll be thy slave, no more thy wife, for with that name I never shall content thee. If I be merry, thou straightway think'st me light. If sad, thou say'st the sullens trouble me. If well attired, thou think'st I will be gadding. If homely, I seem sluttish in thine eye. Thus am I still, and shall be while I die, poor wench abused by thy misgovernment.
But is it for truth that neither thou nor he intendest malice in your misdemeanour?
The heavens can witness of a harmless thought.
Then pardon me, sweet Alice, and forgive this fault. Forget but this, and never see the like. Impose me penance, and I will perform it. For in thy discontent I find a death tormenting more than death itself.
Nay, hadst thou loved me as thou dost pretend, thou wouldst have marked the speeches of thy friend, who, going wounded from the place, he said his skin was pierced only through my device. And if sad sorrow taint thee for this fault, thou wouldst have followed him, and seen him dressed, and cried him mercy, whom thou hast misdone. Ne'er shall my heart be eased till this is done.
Content thee, sweet Alice, thou shalt have thy will, whate'er it be. For that I injured thee and wronged my friend, shame scourgeth my offence. Come, thou thyself, and go along with me, and be a mediator twixt us two.
Why, Master Arden, know you what you do? Will you follow him that hath dishonoured you?
Why, canst thou prove I have been disloyal?
Why, Mosby taunt your husband with the horn.
Aye, after he had reviled him by the injurious name of perjured beast. He knew no wrong could spite a jealous man more than the hateful naming of the horn.
Suppose 'tis true, yet is it dangerous to follow him whom he hath lately hurt?
A fault confused is more than half amends. But men of such ill spirit as yourself work crosses and debate twixt man and wife.
I pray thee, gentle Franklin, hold thy peace. I know my wife counsels me for the best. I'll seek out Mosby where his wound is dressed and salve this hapless quarrel if I may.
Poor gentleman, how soon he is bewitched. And yet, because his wife is the instrument, his friends must not be lavish in their speech.
When was I so long in killing a man?
I think we shall never do it. Let us give it over.
Nay, zounds, we'll kill him though we be hanged at his door for our labour.
Thou knowest, Green, that I've lived in London this 12 years, where I've made some go upon wooden legs, others with silver noses, for saying, there goes Black Will. I've cracked as many blades as thou hast done nuts.
Monstrous lie. Hence, Will, here comes Mistress Arden.
Ah, gentle Michael, art thou sure they're friends?
Why, I saw them when they both shook hands. When Mosby bled, he even wept for sorrow, and railed on Franklin that was cause of all. No sooner came the surgeon in at doors, but my master took his purse and gave him money. And to conclude, sent me to bring you word that Mosby, Franklin, Bradshaw, all will come and sup with you at our house this night.
Oh, gentle Michael, run thou back again, and when my husband walks into the fair, bid Mosby steal from him and come to me. And this night shall thou and Susan be made sure.
I'll go tell him.
And as thou goest, tell John, cook of our guests, and bid him lay it on, spare for no cost.
I'll go tell him.
Nay, and there be such cheer, we will bid ourselves. Mistress Arden, Dick Green and I do mean to sup with you.
And welcome shall you be. Oh, gentlemen, how missed you your purpose yesternight?
'Twas long of shapeback, that unlucky villain.
Thou dost me wrong, I did as much as any.
Aye, but I wonder why you both stood still.
Faith, I was so amazed, I could not strike.
Oh, sirs, had he yesternight been slain, for every drop of his detested blood, I would have crammed in angels in thy fist, and kissed thee too, and hugged thee in my arms.
Patient yourself, we cannot help it now. Green and we two will dog him through the fair and stab him in the crowd and steal away.
It is impossible. But here comes he that will, I hope, invent some surer means. Sweet Mosby, hide thy arm, it kills my heart.
Aye, Mistress Arden, this is your favour.
Ah, say not so, for when I saw thee hurt, I could have took the weapon thou letst fall and run at Arden. For I have sworn that these mine eyes, offended with his sight, shall never close till Arden's be shut up. This night I rose and walked about the chamber, and twice or thrice I thought to have murdered him.
What, in the night? Then had we been undone.
Why, how long shall he live?
Faith, Alice, no longer than this night. Black Will and Shakebag, will you two perform the complot that I have laid?
Aye, or else think me as villain.
And rather than you shall fail, I'll help myself.
You, Master Green, shall single Franklin forth and hold him with a long tale of strange news, that he may not come home till supper time. I'll fetch Master Arden home, and we, like friends, will play a game or two of backgammon.
But what of all this? How shall he be slain?
Why, Black Will and Shakebag, locked within the counting house, shall, at a certain watchword given, rush forth.
What shall the watchword be?
Now I take you. That shall be the word. But come not forth before in any case.
I warn you. But who shall lock us in?
That I will do. Thou'st keep the key thyself.
Come, Master Green. Go you along with me.
At your service.
See all things ready, Alice. Against we come.
Take no care for that. Send you him home. And if he e'er go forth again, blame me. Come, Black Will, that in mine eyes art fair. Next unto Mosby do I honour thee. Instead of fair words and large promises, my hands shall play you golden harmony. How like you this? Say, will you do it, sirs?
Why, and that bravely too. Mark my device. Place Mosby, being a stranger, in a chair, and let your husband sit upon a stool, that I may come behind him cunningly and with a towel pull him to the ground and stab him till his flesh be as a sieve. That done, bear him behind the abbey, that those that find him murdered may suppose some slave or other killed him for his gold.
A fine device! You shall have £20, and when he is dead you shall have 40 more. And lest you might be suspected staying here, Michael will saddle you 2 lusty geldings. Ride whither you will, to Scotland or to Wales. I'll see you shall not lack where'er you be.
Such words would make one kill 1,000 men.
Give me the key. Which is the counting house?
But Mosby will be there, whose very looks will add unwonted courage to my thoughts, and make me the first that shall attack him.
Hush, get you gone. 'Tis we must do the deed. When this door opens next, look for his death.
Oh, would he now were here that it might open. I shall no more be closed in Arden's arms, that like
The snakes of Black Tisiphone sting me with their embracings. Mosby's arms shall encompass me, and were I made a star, I would have none other spheres but those. There is no nectar but in Mosby's lips.
Mistress, my master is coming hard by.
Who comes with him?
Nobody but Mosby.
That's well, Michael. Fetch in the gaming tables, and when thou hast done, stand before the counting house door.
Why so?
Black Will is locked within to do the deed.
What? Shall he die tonight?
Aye, Michael.
But shall not Susan know it?
Yes, for she'll be as secret as ourselves.
That's brave. I'll go and fetch the tables.
But, Michael, hark to me a word or two. When my husband is come in, lock the street door. He shall be murdered ere the guests come in.
Mistress, I will.
Husband! What mean you to bring Mosby home? Although I wish you to be reconciled, 'tis more for fear of you than love of him. Black Will and Green are his companions, and they are cutters and may cut you short. Therefore I thought it good to make you friends. But wherefore do you bring him hither now?
Master Arden, methinks your wife would have me gone.
Alice, bid him welcome. He and I are friends.
You may enforce me to it if you will, but I had rather die than bid him welcome. His company hath purchased me ill friends, and therefore will I ne'er frequent it more.
Now he is here, you will not serve me so.
I pray you, be not angry or displeased. I'll bid him welcome, seeing you'll have it so. You are welcome, Master Mosby. Will you sit down?
I know I'm welcome to your loving husband, but you yourself, you speak not from your heart.
And if I do not, sir, think I have cause.
Pardon me, Master Arden, I'll away.
No good, Master Mosby.
We shall have guests enough, though you go hence.
I pray you, Master Arden, let me go.
I pray thee, Mosby, let her prate her fill.
The doors are open, sir, you may be gone.
Michael, fetch me a cup of wine. I'll make them friends. And gentle Mistress Alice, since you are so stubborn, you shall begin. Frown not, I'll have it so.
I pray you meddle with that you have to do.
Why, Alice, how can I do too much for him whose life I have endangered without cause?
Your wine, masters.
'Tis true, and seeing 'twas partly through my means, I am content to drink to him for this once. Here, Master Mosby. And I pray you, henceforth, be you as strange to me as I to you. Your company hath purchased me ill friends. Therefore, henceforth, frequent my house no more.
I'll see your husband, in despite of you. Yet, Arden, I protest to thee, by heaven, thou ne'er shalt see me more after this night. I'll go to Rome rather than be forsworn.
Tush, I'll have no such vows made in my house.
Yes, I pray you, husband, let him swear. And on that condition, Mosby, pledge me here.
Aye. As willingly as I mean to live.
Come, Alice, is our supper ready yet?
It will be when you have played a game at tables.
Come, Master Mosby, what shall we play for?
3 games for a French crown, sir, and please you.
Content.
Can he not take him yet? What spite is that?
Not yet, Will. Take heed he see thee not.
You will spy me as I'm coming.
1 ace, or else I lose the game.
Marry, sir, there's 2 for failing.
Master Arden, now I take you.
Michael! Alice! What will you do?
Nothing but take you up, sir, nothing else.
Pierced for the pressing iron you told me of.
Pierced for the £10 in my sleeve.
Give me the weapon. Take this for hindering Mosby's love and mine.
Oh, mistress!
A villain will betray us all!
Tush! Fear him not. He will be secret.
Why dost thou think I will betray myself?
In Southwark dwells a bonny northern lass, the widow Chamberley, held to her house now.
Shift for yourselves. We 2 will leave you now.
First, lay the body in the counting house. Here.
There, we have our gold. Mistress Alice, adieu. Mosby, farewell. And Michael, farewell too.
Mistress, the guests at the door. How can they knock?
What shall I let them in?
Mosby, go thou and bear them company. And Susan, fetch water and wash away this blood.
Oh,
blood cleaveth to the ground and will not out.
But with my nails I'll scrape away the blood. The more I strive, the more the blood appears.
What's the reason, mistress? Can you tell?
Because I blush not at my husband's death.
How now? What's the matter? Is all well?
Aye, well, if Arden were alive again. In vain we strive, for here his blood remains.
Why strew rushes on it, can you not? This wench doth nothing. Fall unto the work. Susan!
It was thou that made me murder him.
And what of that?
Nay, nothing, Mosby, so it be not known.
Keep thou it close, and 'tis impossible.
Oh, but I cannot. Was he not slain by me? My husband's death torments me at the heart.
It shall not long torment thee, gentle Alice. I am thy husband. Think no more of him.
How now? Oh, Mrs. Sarden. Why are you weep?
Because her husband is abroad so late. A couple of ruffians threatened him yesternight, and she, poor soul, is afraid he should be hurt.
Now, Mistress Arden, lack you any guests?
Ah, Master Green, did you see my husband lately?
Ah, saw him walking behind the abbey, even now.
I do not like this being out so late. Master Franklin, where did you leave my husband?
Believe me, I saw him not since morning. Fear you not, he'll come anon. Meantime, you may do well to bid his guests sit down.
Ah, so they shall. Master Bradshaw, sit you there. I pray you be content, I'll have my will.
Aye, missus.
Master Mosby, sit you in my husband's seat.
Susan, shall thou and I wait on them? Or, and thou sayest the word, let us sit down too.
Peace, we have other matters now in hand. I fear me, Michael, all will be betrayed.
Tush, so it be known that I shall marry thee in the morning. I care not, though I be hanged ere night. But to prevent the worst, I'll buy some rat's bane.
Why, Michael, wilt thou poison thyself?
No, but my mistress, for I fear she'll tell.
Tush, Michael, fear not her. She's wise enough.
Sirrah Michael, give us a cup of beer.
Master.
Mistress Arden, here's to your husband.
My husband?
What ails you, woman, to cry so suddenly?
Aye, neighbours, a sudden qualm came over my heart. My husband's being forth torments my mind. I know something's amiss. He is not well, or else I should have heard of him ere now.
She will undo us through her foolishness.
Fear not, Mistress Arden. He's well enough.
Tell me not. I know he is not well. He was not wont for to stay thus late. Good Master Franklin, go and see him forth. And if you find him, send him home to me and tell him what a fear he hath put me in.
I like not this. I pray God all be well. I'll seek him out and find him if I can.
Come, Green. We'll follow.
Aye. 'Tis very late, Master Bradshaw. And there are many false knaves abroad. And you have many narrow lanes to pass.
Faith, friend Michael, and thou sayst true. Therefore I pray thee lights forth and lends a torch.
Michael, bring them to the doors, but do not stay. You know I do not love to be alone.
My mistress.
Go, Susan, and bid thy brother come. But wherefore should he come? Here's naught but fear. Stay, Susan, stay, and help to counsel me.
Alas, I counsel. Fear frights away my wits.
See, Susan, where thy quondam master lies. Sweet Arden, smeared in blood and filthy gore.
My brother, you and I shall rue this deed.
Come, Susan, help to lift his body forth, and let our salt tears be his obsequies.
How now, Alice? Whither would you bear him?
Oh, sweet Mosby, art thou come? Then weep what will. I have my wish that I joy thy sight.
Well, it behoves us to be circumspect.
Aye, for Franklin thinks that we have murdered him.
Aye, but he cannot prove it for his life. We'll spend this night in dalliance and in sport.
Oh, mistress, Lord Cheney and the watch are coming towards our house with swords and bills.
Make the door fast. Let them not come in.
Tell me, sweet Alice, how shall I escape?
Out at the back door, over the pile of wood, and lie for one night at the Flower de Luce.
That is the next way to betray myself.
Alas, Mistress Arden, the watch will take me here and cause suspicion where else would be none.
Why, take that way that Master Mosby doth, but first convey the body to the fields.
Until tomorrow, sweet Alice. Now farewell, and see you confess nothing in any case.
Be resolute, Mistress Alice. Betray us not. Cleave to us as we will stick to you.
Now, let the judge and juries do their worst. My house is clear, and now I fear them not.
As we went, it snowed all the way, which makes me fear our footsteps will be spied.
He's a fool. The snow will cover them again.
But it had done before we came back again.
Hark! Hark, they knock! Go, Michael, let them in. Lord Cheney! Have you brought my husband home?
I saw him come into your house an hour ago.
You are deceived. It was a Londoner.
Mistress Arden, know you not one that is called Black Will?
My lord, think you I harbour any such?
We are informed that here he is, and therefore pardon us, for we must search.
Aye, search, and spare you not through every room. Master Franklin, what mean you come so sad?
Arden, thy husband and my friend is slain.
What? No.
By whom, Master Franklin, can you tell?
I know not, but behind the abbey. There he lies, murdered, in most piteous case.
But Master Franklin, are you sure it is he?
I am too sure. Would God I were deceived.
Find out the murderers. Let them be known.
Aye, so they shall. Come, you along with us.
Wherefore?
Know you this hand towel and this knife?
Michael, through this thy negligence, thou hast betrayed and undone us all.
I was so afraid I knew not what I did. I thought I had thrown them both into the well.
It is the pig's blood we had to suffer. But wherefore stay you? Find out the murderers.
I fear me you'll prove one of them yourself.
I one of them? What mean such questions?
I fear me he was murdered in this house and carried to the fields. For from that place backward and forwards may you see the print of many feet within the snow. And look about this chamber, where we are, and you shall find part of his guiltless blood. For in his slipshoe did I find some rushes, which argueth he was murdered in this room.
Look, in the place where he was wont to sit. See, see, his blood. It is too manifest.
It is a cup of wine that Michael shed.
Oh, I truly...
It is his blood. Which, strumpet, thou hast shed. But if I live, thou and thy complices, which have conspired and wrought his death, shall rue it.
Oh, Master Franklin, God and heaven can tell I loved him more than all the world beside. But bring me to him. Let me see his body.
Bring that villain, and Mosby's sister too, and one of you go to the Flower de Luce and seek for Mosby and apprehend him too.
The widow Chamberlain in her husband's days I kept. And now he's dead, she is grown so stout she will not know her old companions. I came thither, thinking to have had harbour as I was wont, and she was ready to thrust me out at doors. But whether she would or no, I got me up, and as she followed me I spurned her down the stairs and broke her neck, and cut her tapster's throat. And now I'm going to fling them in the Thames. I have the gold. What care I though it be known? I'll cross the water and take sanctuary.
See, Mistress Arden, where your husband lies. Confess this foul fault and be penitent.
Arden, sweet husband, what shall I say? The more I sound his name, the more he bleeds. This blood condemns me, and in gushing forth speaks as it falls and asks me why I did it. Forgive me, Arden. I repent me now. And frown not on me when we meet in heaven. In heaven I love thee, though on earth I did not.
Say, Mosby, what made thee murder him?
Study not for an answer.
Look not down. His purse and girdle found at thy bed's head witness sufficiently thou didst the deed. It bootless is to swear thou didst it not.
I hired Black Will and Shakebag, ruffians both, and they and I have done this murderous deed. But wherefore stay we? Come and bear me hence.
Those ruffians shall not escape. I will up to London and get the council's warrant to apprehend them.
Shakebag, I hear, hath taken sanctuary. But I am so pursued with hues and cries for petty robberies that I have done that I can come into no sanctuary. Therefore must I, in some oyster boat, be gone to Flushing. There is no staying here. At Sittingborough, the watch was like to take me, and had I not with my buckler covered my head and run full blank at all adventures, I am sure that I'd ne'er gone further than that place, for the constable has 20 warrants to apprehend me. Besides that, I robbed him and his man once at Gadshill. Farewell, England. I'll to Flushing now.
Come, make haste and bring away the prisoners. Bradshaw, go you before.
Mistress Arden, you are now going to God, and I am by the law condemned to die about a letter I brought from Master Green. I pray you, Mistress Arden, speak the truth. Was I ever privy to your intent or no?
What should I say? You brought me such a letter, but I dare swear thou knewest not the contents. Leave now to trouble me with worldly things, and let me meditate upon my Saviour Christ, whose blood must save me for the blood I shed.
How long shall I live in this hell of grief? Convey me from the presence of that strumpet.
Ah, but for thee I had never been strumpet. What cannot oaths and protestations do when men have opportunity to woo? I was too young to sound thy villainies, but now I find it, and repent too late. Oh,
gentle brother, wherefore should I die? I knew not of it till the deed was done.
For thee, I mourn more than for myself. But let it suffice, I cannot save thee now.
And if your brother and my mistress had not promised me you in marriage, I had ne'er given consent to this foul deed.
Leave to accuse each other now, and listen to the sentence I shall give. Bear Mosby and his sister to London straight, where they in Smithfield must be executed. Bear Mistress Arden unto Canterbury, where her sentence is, she must be burnt.
Let my death make amends for all my sins.
Michael and Bradshaw in Faversham must suffer death.
Fie upon women! This shall be my song. But bear me hence, for I have lived too long.
Away with you.
Seeing no hope on earth, in heaven is my hope.
Faith, I care not, seeing I die with Susan.
My blood be on his head that gave the sentence!
To speedy execution with them all!
Thus have you seen the truth of Arden's death. As for the ruffians, Shakebag and Black Will, the one took sanctuary, and being sent for out, was murdered in Southwark as he passed to Greenwich, where the Lord Protector lay. Black Will was burnt in Flushing on a stage. Green was hanged at Osbridge in Kent. The painter fled, and how he died, we know not. But this, above the rest, is to be noted. Arden lay murdered in that plot of ground which he by force and violence held from Green. And in the grass, his body's print was seen 2 years and more after the deed was done.
In Arden of Faversham, Master Arden was played by Ewan Bailey and Alice by Amaka Okafor. Mosby was Samuel James, Green was Simon Ludders, and Michael was Tom Forrester. Franklin was Philip Fox, Black Will, Ben Crow, and Shakebag, Sean Pritchard. Clark was Ryan Whittle, Lord Cheney, John Telfer, Bradshaw, John Norton, and Susan, Olivia Marcus. Original music was composed by Lucy Rivers and performed by James Evan, Hannah McPake, Dan Mazzori, Mark O'Connor, Ellen Phillips, Lucy Rivers, and Aidan Thorne. Arden of Faversham was adapted for radio and directed by Alison Hindle. It was a BBC Cymru Wales production for Radio 3.
You can find more editions of Drama on 3 on BBC Sounds. Next week's drama is Rosmerholm, an adaptation of Ibsen's most complex play, in which a hero surrenders his privileged place in conservative Norwegian society. Can he win out against the status quo? You can hear that at 7:30 next Sunday.
9 times already since my birth had the heaven of light returned to the selfsame point, when first the glorious lady of my mind was made manifest to mine eyes.
Romantics or reprobates,
he feeds upon her face by day and night, and she, with true kind eyes, looks back on him.
The Pre-Raphaelites and their inspirations in Words and Music on BBC Radio 3.
Ah, the singing. Ah, the delight, the passion.
Available now on BBC Sounds.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's 16 minutes past nine. Time for tonight's In Concert, presented by Kate Mollison.
Good evening. Tonight we've got a couple of pieces by Jean-Baptiste Lully from the Merseburg Organ Festival, one of the oldest cities in central Germany. It's on the Saale River. It's famous for its Romanesque cathedral and an enormous and apparently very loud Ladegask organ. We'll hear a grand motet by Lully, performed by Collegium Vocale Leipzig and Merseburger Hofmusik under Michael Schönheit. Plaudi Laetare Gallia, written for the baptism of Louis XIV's first son. And given the family, the celebration music was not done by halves.